prayer about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guests in just a few moments, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Again, Exodus, chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And it tells us these words of insight. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for every believer that's a part of our listening family. Thank you for your hand of grace and your spirit at work in each and every one of our lives. Lord, help us, the members of our families, and every listener as well. Help us all to put you first today. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help each of us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us all, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Father, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help each of us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not covet. Help us to not covet and help us to not desire that which is not our own. We thank you and help us to tell the truth. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today, we're grateful to have as our phone guest today, Lieutenant Dan Wilson. Lieutenant Dan is a retired Navy SEAL officer. He's an author, he's a speaker, father five, and the husband of Robin Wilson. Lieutenant Dan, how are you today?
Pastor Parker, I'm doing great. Thank you very much. It sounds like you're doing well as well, and appreciate your ministry and the outreach here, and thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. It's good to have you on today. And Lieutenant Dan, as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll take time to introduce our listeners a little bit more to you again. As I've already mentioned, you're a retired Navy SEAL officer, which again is, that's, I guess, a powerful story all by itself, but also more than that, you're a child of God and you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a big part of your life and what you do. But would you tell our, just basically introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them more about yourself and your work in serving the Lord?
Yeah, I'd be honored to do that, actually. So I am a retired Navy man, spent 22 years in the Navy. I actually joined the Navy at 17 years old. I brought up in the church and actually had no understanding of what the Bible was or who Christ was or anything that he did with me. My family were not churchgoers, and really, I don't know if I'd met a Christian. I'm sure I had before then, but no one had ever shared the gospel with me. Though I had gone to a church with a friend of mine who was not a godly man. Actually, he sent me about as far away from God as you could possibly get by his actions. I was just a young guy. But I joined the Navy early at 17, like I said, and at just around 20 years old, I had come back from the Vietnam area, where I was at with my ship, stationed with the Marines out at Camp Pendleton, California. And I had a friend of mine, actually he wasn't much of a friend, but a guy that I worked with came into my office and kept pestering me to go to church with him. And he eventually said to me that there were a ton of beautiful girls there, and said I could actually go to church barefoot and in cutoffs. So I took him up on that pretty close and went to church. And to be honest, it was almost instant that the truth of the gospel just revealed itself. You know, for many, many years I tried to act holy. I tried to be a good guy. You know, I tried to be a good guy, and I always thought, you know, there's something more than just this life. There has to be something more. And I strove to be a good guy, but being a sailor, you know, you're put into many tempting situations, and I was put into about as many as you could get, and I was fighting, trying to figure out, am I going to be a good guy, or am I going to be a typical rogue with the Navy? And you know, it'd be easy to get caught up in drugs and drinking during the Vietnam era there. So I was actually being challenged. My heart was seeking the truth, and you know, when I was seeking, God actually sent somebody by that could talk me into going church. So at 20 years old, I started going to church. Took me about 6 months before I actually made the decision that I could not live. I had to find out if God were true, if what Jesus had done was true, and if I asked him into my life, the Holy Spirit would come into me. And you know, after being up all night long and really just pondering things, one morning I just laid myself out and said, all right, I give up. You take my life. If you're real, prove it to me. And he did. You know, not in any spectacular way, but I just knew he did. And when I gave him my life, I was actually born again. And so here I'm 20 years old, stationed with the Marines at Camp Pendleton, and did okay. I was finishing up with my first tour there, and I just delved into reading scripture and trying to find out everything I could about the gospel. Not that knowing scripture makes you a better Christian, but it sure helps, you know. By the grace of God, we're saved, not by works or anything. But anyway, I sought Christ. I left the Navy, and then about a year later, I actually came back in because the buddy who invited me to church actually volunteered for basic underwater demolition SEAL training out of Coronado, California, and was accepted and started a class. So here I'm out of the Navy. That was my goal when I joined the Navy. But he actually did it. I had talked to him enough about it that he got fired up about doing it, so he went to Buds. So I came back to the Navy, asked for allowance to come back in the Navy so I could go to SEAL training, and was given that authority. Interestingly enough, my buddy, who was in the class just before my class, actually dropped out of Buds. One of the 90-some percent that actually... So a good example, in my class, we had about 500 people try out for my class, and out of the 500, 52 were actually in my class at the start of it. It was class 102, and out of the 52, five of us that started the class finished. We had seven from other classes that came into my class later on towards the end, but five of us that originally started finished. So that was about 1% of those who had tried out for SEALs at the time. And but again, by that time I had been a Christian, and I really was unsure what God was doing, but I did well in the SEAL teams and ended up working with the underwater demolition team 12 out of Coronado, and then spent some time with SEAL team 5 again out of Coronado. But God called me on to get a commission with the Navy, becoming an officer. And I was a little bit old by then to become a Navy SEAL officer, so I actually took one going into hospital administration. So I spent about 10 years of my life actually working as a hospital administrator and designing and planning hospitals for the Navy around the world. So
Lieutenant Dan,
that's kind of what God had done with me early on through my Navy career. And then
Let me jump in. Can you hear me? Let me jump in for one quick minute. I want to ask, would you specifically pray for our military in this regard? You know, having been there, you'd know this better than most, but there's such a need, a great need, for lots so much more ministry in our military. Would you take time to pray for God to raise up more people and ministries that reach out to those persons? Would you pray for that at this time?
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, like everybody else, our entire nation needs prayer. But interestingly, a lot of those in the military are really pursuing the truth. And as we know, the Christ is the truth. So I'd love to pray, and I thank you for that. Lord God, I just thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on Pastor Parker's program, Lord, and the ministry to not just the urban community, but the American community, and Lord, the ministries and the efforts of the American Family Association. Father, I just pray that those military men and women around the globe trying to put together the truth that is occurring between the wars we have going on, their desire to serve America and keep America free when within our own nation we have challenges that are coming against us all the time, as President Abraham Lincoln said, that if America is to fall, it'll really be at our own hands. And I believe it's tightening around our neck because we've turned from you, Lord God. But I do pray, and I believe that many of our military men and women have a heart to follow you. And I just ask that you strengthen them, give them courage, and help them live lives of integrity. And that, Lord, just as me, somebody shared the gospel with me, I just pray that there are those that will share the gospel with those servicemen and women who are just seeking to know what the truth is. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you again for radio programs around the world that have an opportunity to share the truth. And just love you, Lord. Thank you for your grace in our lives and on our continent. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you. Then would you pick up, though, and we'll be coming up on a break in just a few moments. So, but let me just mention this, Lieutenant Dan. As far as, you know, your story, of course, you have a powerful story. You've written some books. Tell our listeners the title of some of your books. Can you hear me?
Actually, after I had done another 20 years serving the military, with a program that manages all of our military hospitals around the world, God had just kind of called me into to authorship, and I wrote a first book called The Shepherd's Sword. It's a great, it's just a good story that I've been able to share with my kids for years and years, and God finally allowed me to put it in writing. I think people will find it's a fun story. It's a good story around Christmas time, just as a hint. After that, I felt like God was calling me to write a little bit about what being a Christian in the Navy SEALs is like and what the SEAL teams are like. And,
Lieutenant Dan, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to jump in here one more time. We're coming up on a break, but we'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Lieutenant Dan Wilson, retired Navy SEAL officer. We'll be right back after this break.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
The only thing good when it's semi-sweet is chocolate. So why are you walking around semi-sweet and pretty close to bitter? The enemy likes to feed bitterness by aiding in our recall of times and situations where we've been hurt. The problem with constantly reliving these hurts is that with every recall, we, yes, we, injure our spirit all over again. Even in his correction of us, the Lord does not cast us off forever. Lamentations 3:32 says, though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Until you can truly release your offender, you are bound by an offense which the enemy uses to cause bitterness to grow. Left unchecked, this bitterness spreads to every area of our lives. Forgive from the heart as you've been forgiven. It's the only escape from the trap of bitterness. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
What a wonderful day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
Oh, when he was.
When Jesus was.
When he did, when he did, when he was.
When Jesus was.
He washed my sin away.
Music of B.B. Winans, the song Oh Happy Day. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today is Lieutenant Dan Wilson. Lieutenant Dan Wilson, a retired Navy SEAL officer, author, and speaker, and it looks like we may have lost him, but just a moment. He'll should be back with us in just a few moments. Let me remind you once again, there are several prayer tools we want to offer to every listener, tools that can help you, help jumpstart your prayer life. And you know, it's so important for us to know that in this day and time, there's such a need for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to take seriously the need for us to mobilize our prayer life individually. As husbands and wives, we need to pray more. As dads and moms, we need to pray so much more. As families, we need to teach and encourage our children to pray as well. What are the things we need to pray about? Well, pretty much everything. We need to be praying much for our nation, pray for our country, pray for our military, praying for families, praying for churches, praying for the church to be mobilized to really take prayer seriously. We see so many ills, so many problems, so many difficulties, things that are going wrong, that are being dealt with wrong in our society, things that only God can fix. The fact is, there aren't people or groups or nations or parties that are wise enough to know what to do and how to do it. There are so many things that we're dealing with today that only God can fix. So it's imperative that every believer listening take it upon yourself to decide, I'm going to spend more time praying in my own life. For every couple listening, husbands and wives will decide, we're going to spend more time praying together for our nation as a couple. Parents, teaching and encouraging your children to do the same, bringing your family together to pray, having the whole family pray for the president, the vice president, for Congress, pray for our nation, pray for the Supreme Court, and pray for God to heal our nation. And praying much, as Lieutenant Dan alluded to as well, the military needs lots and lots of prayer. You know, just I think of, for example, all by itself, the fact that the suicide rate is so high amongst the military, tragically high. Now, of course, suicide's always a tragedy, but it's tragically high, unusually high amongst our military. We must pray much for them and just bathe them in prayer so much more. So we need to take that serious. Lieutenant Dan, are you back with us?
I am back with you. Thanks so much, Pastor.
Okay then. All righty. Let me ask you this, Lieutenant Dan, too. You were sharing your story. And if you'll, once again, we started to share the titles of the books. If you'll share again, the titles of the books that you've written, and then you can go right back to your story then. Would you share those titles, please?
Okay. The first book in the Ask series was the Ask Force, and I'm trying to be a little bit quiet. I have to apologize to all your listeners here. We are actually up in the middle of Maine on our way up to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And the only place we could find that had a Wi-Fi signal to actually reach onto the call was in a little restaurant. The restaurant's closed, but it's still a little noisy, so I apologize for that. But anyway, so the first book was called The Ask Force, and the second book was called Ask America. And again, the second book was very much about your prayers, about politics, about the intent of America. You know, America has been a shining light on a hill because we are a nation that was good. We were a nation that sought God. But as every nation in history, what happens over time is you turn from God. When you turn, just like a field, if you stop planting and nurturing a farm, weeds will grow in and take over and kill the crops. So that's what we see happening in America today. And Ask America is really about America returning to God, as Solomon was given directions in Chronicles, to where, you know, if we repent and we humble ourselves and we seek God and His favor, that He would heal our land. And that's really what it's about. I believe that's what all of us are being called to at this moment. I think we're all in that same place, mm-hmm. very much like Queen Esther, where Mordecai said, you know, who knows, but for such a time as this, mm-hmm. you've been called. And I believe we have been called, Pastor. I think, Pastor Parker, you, I believe myself, and so many others are truly being called to make a difference. Not just in our nation, but around the world. And I look forward to all of those who are listening who get that call. That's mm-hmm. what I am hoping and praying for, is that those in your listening audience will feel the call and use their talents and gifts
mm-hmm.
and ask, seek, and knock on the door that God has called them to pursue.
Amen. Amen. Okay, then. So the first book is entitled The Shepherd's Story, you said. Then the second two.
The Shepherd's Sword.
The Shepherd's Sword. Okay.
Again, that's just a novel. Shepherd's Sword is in a fighting sword.
Okay. And then the second two, and you said the Ask series?
Yep.
Okay. And then there's a fourth book, you said.
Yep, and I'm writing, I'm finishing one up now that's called Ask for Purpose, A-S-K, for Purpose. Because, you know, one of the things I found is I talk to men's groups and different groups and organizations around the country. I get the same question over and over. A lot of people don't know what to ask for. They're just afraid to really seek their heart and say, what is it that I am being called to do? So this next book coming out, Ask for Purpose.
Okay.
And I hope it hits the streets here fairly soon. We'll see how that goes. But that'll be the third in hopefully a fourth series chronicle that'll help people understand a little bit better what Jesus was talking about when he said ask, seek, and knock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's based on Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 7-7, my favorite numbers.
All righty. Okay, then. Okay, and so if someone wants to get one or all of those books, how would they get them?
Well, they can actually reach out to my website again. It's www.ask-force.com. Ask-force.com, and the dash is a hyphen, basically. And they can reach in there, and you can buy it electronically or actually have a mailed hard copy that I will actually sign for your guests.
Okay. Okay, then. All righty. Okay, well, would you pick back? I tell you, just before you pick it back up on your story, would you pray also for churches that are listening to recognize the need to do what you were speaking of, really become aggressive about really taking prayer seriously and praying effectively and aggressively for our nation and for our culture? Would you?
I would love to. I appreciate it. Lord God, I just thank you again for this opportunity, Father, and I pray, Lord, just the opportunity to be intercessors. And I honestly believe that it's just like in the military where intercessors are the supply and the munition supplier for those of us that are in the battle against the enemy. And I just thank you for those intercessors that are around the globe, people that are praying, especially for the churches, Lord, around our nation. Right now we have such an intent to divide, just as in all battles. The enemy wants to confuse communications and basically divide the family and the warriors, Lord. If you can break away the communications and divide the team, it makes a weak team. And I know the enemy wants to do that, and especially within the church, Lord. We have churches around our country who have a heart's desire to serve you and to honor you. And yet, Lord, the enemy knows that if they can separate them out and break up the harmony and the communication between each other and with you, it weakens our entire force. But we know that you are greater than anything that the enemy can do, and we trust that you will guide our hands, guide our minds. And Lord, if we just put you first and then we put our neighbors second, just as we would ourselves, and as you commanded, Lord, that we will be strengthened and that we would be encouraged and we would be able to uplift those in the body and those in the church. And Father, I pray for the pastors that you would just give them a special anointing of strength and vision and clarity of call and all that they would do. And Lord, from anywhere, Lord, those churches that are in the small bowels of places like Maine here, where they might have a congregation of 15 or 20 people, or the large churches in the urban areas that have thousands of people, Lord, that we fill them not with things that tickle their ears, but things that really pierce their heart and help encourage, Lord, the parishioners or the members of your church to join the battle and to pray against the evil that's coming into our country. so that, again, America can be a light on the hill and Lord, a beacon for the entire world. And just thank you so much in Jesus, the glorious warrior and our prince. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All righty. Would you pick back up? You were sharing how that after you joined the Navy SEALs, you had already received Christ. Would you pick up your story there?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I had interesting. There are a number of Christian dreams. I just happen to be the only one that I know of within my class, and it's interesting because I probably, when you look at 52 people originally signed up to start my class in back in 1977, I was probably not the top choice to make it through, but you can't ever tell who's going to make it. We have a week where we're actually awake until around midnight on Sunday, and we stay awake and we do just all kinds of really cool things all week long. But it's very wearing. Before that week started, it was kind of neat. My class actually got together, and they asked me to pray for our class that no one would be injured or killed during the events that were going to take place over that week, because that does happen. And it's a necessary event. I know we lost a Navy SEAL recently, or a guy who was in SEAL training down in San Diego or Coronado, California. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a sad thing, but it's better to lose somebody in training, preparing everybody else to survive, than it is to avoid break and then have everyone basically lost. And I believe the church is kind of that same way. You know, if we don't step up to the plate and become warriors within our faith, if we are afraid to step out, when the enemy comes, it'll be harder for us to react, and we won't have the practice to really step into those areas that we'd be uncomfortable in. Mm-hmm. Good example. I quit high school at 16 and joined the Navy at 17. And I quit high school because I was asked to give a speech in front of the class, and I was so deathly afraid of speaking in front of people. Mm-hmm. That I quit high school early, mm-hmm. and joined the Navy, and I really couldn't speak in front of people for many, many, many years. But God had said, you know what, you've got to trust me and do what I call you to do. And of course, one of those things is standing up in front of people and speaking, which is still uncomfortable, but I do it. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole church needs to be that way. So one of the things I learned while I was in SEAL teams, and then I spent many years, I was in charge of the program that planned and designed military hospital construction. So we built some additions on San Diego Balboa Hospital, a new hospital in Portsmouth, Virginia, and then a few hospitals overseas and some dental clinics and such. So it was a very good Navy career, and then God called me out of that into the civilian world, where I spent another 20 years actually helping to manage a program that managed the buildings of every military hospital in the world, including the Air Force and the Army. So I was very blessed in how God had taken a high school dropout.
Okay, well, we looks like we lost him again, but we're coming up on a break once more, and we'll pick up there. Hopefully we'll get him right back on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll pick up on the other side of the break. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession.
More than 1.3 million people have signed the American Family Association pledge to boycott Target, opposing the policy allowing self-identified transgenders into the fitting room or restroom of their choice. That policy literally opens the women's restroom door to men. Clearly, that is bad policy. Men should use the men's room, and our wives and daughters should be allowed to feel safe. If you agree, sign the Boycott Target Pledge at AFA.net.
Hi, I'm Sean. After the 16 treatments, I didn't think there was anything anybody could do for me anymore. I decided to come into Teen Challenge. It's just changed my life forever. I am free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Problems seem to come at us from every angle, but Dr. Tony Evans says they typically share a common solution. He'll tell us about it today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Some months ago, we had a problem in my house where a bunch of the lights on one side of my house went out. And I went looking at the bulbs, I went looking at the switches, I'm all over the place trying to figure out why all these lights are going out. And then it just dawned on me to go inside the garage, and to go inside the garage, when I got inside your garage, to check my breaker box. And I checked my breaker box to find out one of my breaker switches had tripped. In other words, everything else that was wrong was because one thing was wrong. Because the breaker box switch switched off, it affected a whole realm of where I lived. I started trying to deal with the realm instead of looking at the box. And when I fixed this one thing, I just flipped the switch, everything else got right. If I would have gone to the breaker box first, I wouldn't have wasted time with stuff that didn't work. But all the time I spent on everything else and didn't go to the one thing that would have changed everything else was loss of time, energy, and effort. I'd like to suggest to you, prayer is earthly permission for heavenly intervention.
You can read hundreds of Dr. Evans' best stories in Tony Evans' Book of Illustrations. Check into getting a copy today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
The Bible says if you delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. It shall come to pass. If you believe it, clap your hands and say, I believe it.
You're listening to Hezekiah Walker, the song, It Shall Come to Pass. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, our guest today is Lieutenant Dan Wilson, retired Navy SEAL, author, and speaker as well. Lieutenant Dan, would you share once again, if our listeners are wanting to get a copy of any of your books, tell them once again how they can do that.
I'd be glad to do that. Thank you. It's easy to reach out to me at www.ask-force.com, ask-force.com, and they can pick up a book, or they can also just request or send me a note or request my presence at a speaking engagement or pretty much anything. That's an easy way to reach out to me right there.
Okay. Okay, then. Okay, in this last segment, Lieutenant Dan, if you would you share with our listeners how prayer played an important part in your military life and then in your civilian life as well?
Oh, I would be so glad to, and especially on the intercession side. It's interesting. So the gentleman that actually invited me to church, again, you know, here I'd lived almost 20 years of my life. I really hadn't met too many Christians throughout that period of time. What happened is, though, I came back from actually cruising around on ship over in the really off the coast of Vietnam and out in the Southeast Asia area for a couple of years. And when I came back, one of the things I wanted to do was to head up to Washington State where I could buy some land and just kind of get away from the world. I was a little bit bitter about the world. I didn't overseas anymore. And I thought, well, if I hide away in Washington State, that would be great. So I actually hitchhiked up to Washington State when I came back. And I was sitting on a bridge when this elderly gal drove up and she said, you know, I've never done this before, but, and you have to excuse the noise in the background, by the way. Then we're in a restaurant up here in the middle of Maine. But anyway, she said she had never done it before, but she was wondering if I wouldn't mind helping her husband bring in some hay. And basically, they were a Christian couple, probably the first that I'd ever met. Mm-hmm. And what she did was she actually sent me off with a letter and a Bible. I worked with her, with them for a couple of days and just hanging around. They helped me buy some land. And I threw the Bible away, held on to the letter. But 6 months later, when I had come to Christ, I actually found that letter again, got a hold of them, and that lady had told me that she had been praying for me every day for those 6 months. And her intercessory prayer to God brought about the events that in my life just changed my entire life. And I can't tell you how important that was. During the same, you know, during the years that followed, I had the same opportunity to pray for others, intercessory, both in the military, outside the military. I prayed for missionaries that were ministering to the military around the country. Right. And just the idea that we have a God who hears the earnest pleas of his people.
That's right.
And that's probably one of the greatest things that I've learned throughout this. And I believe some of our greatest warriors are those that get on their knees in prayer for others.
Praise God. That's a great story to share. What would you say, Lieutenant Dan, would be some of the most important issues or matters to pray for those in the military about? Maybe the military, the people in the military, their families. What would be some of the biggest prayer needs people in the military face, would you say?
Okay, so if I heard you correctly, what are some of the more important things to pray for those in the military? Well, I'll tell you that one of the probably the greatest attacks within the military is because everything is politically correct. If you speak out in the name of Christ, you're almost instantly brought up for some kind of a reprimand, and many people are being released for a strong stance in Christ, even pastors. They bring a number of, we do have our religious leaders in there. We call them pastors and within the service. And their hands are being tightly held from actually preaching the gospel. They can, you know, a Christian minister has to give the Islam benediction, you know, and preach Islam during that time of the service, as well as they have to reach out to every other religion that would be out there. So what they try to do is find ministers who are really not committed to Christ and willing to share the anywhere, but every once in a while we'll have pastors who who are fully committed to Christ and know what their goal is. And even though they may end up having to do a service for Islam or Buddha or someone, in their heart and in their daily lives, they speak volumes for the gospel. Mm-hmm. But we do need prayer for those folks that are out there. And the old adage, there's no atheists in foxholes. Mm-hmm. That really does hold true. When these young men and women are out there, and I'll tell you, I'm in prayer for them so often. At 19, 20 years old, these men and women, you know, especially the men, they can't order a beer in their state, but they can go over and give their life or their limbs for their nation. Mm-hmm. And those same people at 18, 19, 20 years old are seeking the truth about life. You know, is mm-hmm. this all there is to life? Is my life over when it's ended? Most all of them, I can guarantee it, are wondering if there is something more, and how do I get there? So, mm-hmm. so they really do seek, and that's one of the things that I found, especially with those that are in a combat arena, the Marines, the Army, they're truly seeking it. On the Navy and the Air Force, maybe not quite as much because the hazards aren't as in, you know, I guess visible as they are in the Marines or the Army. So we could really use some prayer for those young people mm-hmm. that are out there seeking, and some of them are in combat, not knowing when they're going to take their last breath.
That's right.
And yeah. Or step on that personnel mine.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all seeking. You know, wow. Those that have been injured and those that have watched their friends die or get injured.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know the truth. What is life about? What is America about? And that's kind of their heart's prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, would you take time now specifically to pray for like military families, for marriages, for children? But also, you know, we think of the tragedies that are happening in our culture as well. The police officers, in some ways, their lives would be much like those who are in the service, dealing with the pressures, the reality of danger in a day-to-day lifestyle. Would you pray for the families of both those in the military and those who are in law enforcement as well at this time?
Oh, Pastor Parker, you hit my hot button right now. You are so right on with that whole thought. You know, we look to our military and we honor them so often, and yet those within our own borders. Yeah, you know, the men in blue and even the firefighters and so many others are truly being challenged and attacked, and families are worried about it. So I appreciate you asking me that, and I'd be honored to do that. Lord God, you know our heart's prayer that this is a dangerous world. It's a dangerous time to be living really anywhere in the world. And Father, for the military families, for the wives and the children of those who are in harm's way every day of their life, in our police services, in our firefighters, and oftentimes in those who are just maybe a security guard in the evening, in a hotel or at a bank or anywhere. Father, there's so many men and women who have their lives really on the line at any given time. And the families that are sitting at home worrying about them, that's an even harder place to be sometimes. And I just ask, Father, that you give comfort, strength, help us to be defenders of those that defend us. In every way, each one of us, Lord, within the church, within our cities, within our political realm, that you would help us to have the courage and the strength to step out and help defend those that would defend us. And Father, just again, ask your hand of blessings. As James prayed, he said, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, expand our territory, that you would keep your hand with us and keep us from causing harm or being harmed. Lord, I pray that for those who are in service for our nation, our cities, our counties, and Lord, for the families that support those individuals as well. Just ask your hand of blessing on each one of them. And again, thank you, Heavenly Father, that is really in intercession to you, and those that come before you to beg that you would just keep your hand of protection over those individuals who are willing to sacrifice all for the calling that you've called them to. And just thank you for your grace, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lieutenant Dan. I appreciate that so much. Our time is just about completely gone, but I tell you, in the last minute and a half or so, would you take time just from the perspective of a man who's both been in the military and worked in just as a civilian as well, but who sees the country where it is today, whatever's on your heart, would you pray for just the healing and the grace of God to be working where you see the need to be the greatest in our culture as we conclude our time today?
Oh, I'd be honored to do that. Thank you. Lord God, you know my heart's prayer, and one of the things that I've proclaimed so often is that we've lost about 1.5 million military members to death during battle since America's founding, and in all of the Holocausts around our globe since 1776, we've lost somewhere around 35 million people, Lord, so many more. And yet those two combined do not equal the tragedy of abortion that we've allowed in America since Roe v. Wade. And I apologize, Lord, that I haven't been active in praying for those women who are in that situation. Lord, we have a battle going on here in America, a battle for life and a battle for right. And I pray that you bring warriors up who are willing to stand up to just join the ranks of our politicians and our judges and those in places of power to become an honor and a glory to you. And I just pray for pastors around our country, Lord, who are in support and counsel for those in high places as well. Thank you so much for listening to us, Lord, and for a great day to just serve you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Father, I thank you for Lieutenant Dan. Thank you for the great work you've called him to, and thank you for the ways that you're using his witness to touch many, both in the military and outside of the military, and as a witness in our culture to point people back to Jesus Christ as being the answer to everything. Lord, more and more, help us all to stand in the unique places you've placed us to be bright, shining witnesses for the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, intercessors and standing as those proclaiming the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Lieutenant Dan, thank you so much for being on the broadcast with us. We appreciate you. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.